recorded from an earlier broadcast. Live from North Hollywood, California, this is Feedback Focus. Hi there. This is only suitable. This is Brian W. Feedback. The recording that you have reached has been issued for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, January...
it's over there.
5th, 6th, and 7th, 1981. And joining me this week is Stephen Z. Boopline.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And our first edition of Feedback Focus, or we had other names for it. But
should we explain the set because they can't see it?
That's right. Go by
it's really nice. It's just like a cross between Merv Griffin and Mike Douglas. We've got these really nice swivel chairs that Brian and I are sitting at. We've got some nice plants in the background. And it's a very professional looking set. And as I was telling Brian here on Feedback Focus, we like to interview provocative, interesting, and controversial people, but we couldn't find any of those. So who are we going to interview today?
Today we're going to interview, well, you hear him every weekend, and this might be a bit devastating or exciting, depending on how you look at it. But yes, the one and the only, fortunately, Stuart Funfun. Stu? Devastating?
The fortunate Stu Funfun.
Yes. Not to be confused with the unfortunate Stu Funfun.
He lost weight, didn't he?
Yes. I mean, yeah. You hear him record it, and... Would you explain that to me, please?
What I'm saying is, boy, he's recorded right now. I think the point Brian is supposed to say that you hear this guy on a tape, and you go, come on, he can't exist. I mean, come on.
Steve, but, yeah. Are you the co-host?
I guess so.
You have to sing.
My co-host this week.
Is Brian going to sing you at the end of the program? And are they going to show pictures of everybody and all the guests you've had all week?
I'm the co-host for this week,
is this
yeah.
A barter show?
I like Mike.
Okay. Well, Steve.
He likes you, too.
Oh, what have I been missing the past 4 years?
We're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Well, really, why we're going to be talking with Stu is a lot of... I said, why are you going to be talking with Stu?
All right.
Yes. Are not familiar with Mr. Funfun himself, and, of course, that might be good or bad, depending on how you look at it.
Oh, same old Brian.
That's right. But, really, just to familiarize yourself with where Funfun came from, and actually we're going to be playing a little stuff later on in the tape, from early Funfun, something different than the actual Funfun skits that you hear every weekend.
Probably a lot of our callers weren't even born when this
exactly.
Played.
Exactly. Stu, when did you first, how old were you when you first conceived?
I beg your pardon? stop taking the pills and
first decided to run Funfun. I had been infatuated with recordings over the phone.
Like which one?
Well, do you remember the Ben recording?
I never heard it myself.
Steve?
No, but we are familiar.
Sounds
with
like
it.
Burt Beverly Hills. Yeah.
All right. When I was about 10 or 11 and lived in Baldwin Hills, I was given that number by an associate of my dad's. You know, the guy is a lawyer and has nothing better to do than to call recordings up all day instead
exactly.
of being in court. And became infatuated with that and used to call it all the time and amuse my friends and take it to school with me and all that. Then.
What age were you at this
point? About age 10. When I was 11, which was, it would be just about 1967, a line came out in Culver City called Vermont. And I started calling that, and it was different from Ben in the fact that it used to have short recordings. And you
called
back.
I remember that one.
You get different ones. Yeah, I have a whole tape of them here.
Can we play?
Whoa!
We just lost Stu's microphone. Did we, Stu? Are you still there?
Hello.
Okay.
Try to control your enthusiasm.
But Vermont!
The train leaving at midnight, get under it. Anyway, that lasted until I was about 11 or so. Then we moved out to the Valley when I was 12.
In which Valley?
San Fernando Valley.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And Z came out. And so it was right around then, when I was around 10 or 11, when I became interested in running telephone recordings myself. And obviously at that age, I knew nothing. And obviously at this age, I know nothing. But that's what I wanted to do. And the idea for running recordings began when I ripped off an answering machine that was in storage at my dad's office. Sorry?
Was that the robot phone?
The robot phone. Right. And that was when I was in 12th grade, which would be 1973. And that's when the line began.
So you started in 1973.
Yes, as the Shokas Hotline.
That's the Shokas Hotline. And
there were experiments. In 1971, when I was in 10th grade, I wanted to run a line, and I'd been given a little portable cassette. For 2 hours every night, people would call my private number, and I would take the receiver and hook it up to the cassette recorder and play them stuff that me and Dave Shokas.
So that's where people decided to follow in your footsteps from.
Yeah, but in 1973, I went 24 hours and got that robot phone and then got a separate line that I could talk on because the call started coming in and I
now
couldn't dial out.
Now, the Shokas hotline went through a few different phases itself, did it not?
So did Dave Shokas.
Uh-huh. He's in a very large phase right now.
Dave Shokas, of course, being who at this time?
Dave Shokas.
Well,
what do you mean being who?
People.
Dave Shokas and I met in high school, and I used to call him Jello and for obvious reasons, and he used to call me faggot. I won't go further on that.
Please.
But anyway, we became friends from this. From faggot can do a lot of things with Jell-O.
All right.
Yes.
I hope my mom's not calling this tape.
Okay. Anyway, and I got him involved in calling Z in Vermont. Vermont was still connected at the time, and also Dial-A-Joke had come out by that time.
The early Dial-A-Joke?
Yeah, the Jewish guy. I have a whole tape of those, too. The little Jewish guy out in Canoga Park with his 88 number, 88. All right, and we decided to start our own line, and I have some of those early tapes, too. I have some early Shokas hotline tapes that you don't have, Brian. I mean, you have the Fun Phone package, but you don't have the early Shokas tapes, and for good reason, if you want to play one, we'll see. We used to do Perry Raisins and...
Many Perry Raisins.
And then I started writing skits at that time. This was 1973. The skits were in no way like they are today. They were good. No, they weren't. It was actually the opposite. They were extremely bad, but again, those early skits helped me write the ones that everybody likes so much now. Shut up, Steve.
Exactly. So when did it evolve into Fun Phone from the Shokas Hotline?
Thank you, Steve.
As I was ready to graduate high school, Dave Shokas announced that he no longer had an interest in running Shokas Hotline, and I changed the name to Fun Phone. It just came to me, but of course, Fun Phone was spelled P-H-U-N-F-O-N-E.
Right.
Because I can't read or write. And that's when Fun Phone came about, and I ran it. I still had a lot of tapes made in backlog with Dave Shokas that we went ahead and played anyway, although the new title was Fun Phone. And when I began college in the fall of 1974, I decided that the line had it. That was it. No more. I would not have the time for it. But 8 months later, much to my surprise, I found the time for it, reconnected it, got Tom Santa Monica to build me a new machine that would run on loop cassettes, and that's when the skits that you have in your possession began running, and that lasted until August of 1977. And consequently, that's when Feedback came up, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Feedback came up really about, I would say, 2 weeks or possibly a week before Fun Phone went down. In fact, you announced the numbers to Bloop Line and Feedback on your very final mailbag tape before the line went down.
I have to check that, have that on file here. But anyway, out of those 2.5 years, there were 115 skits produced.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went down, we made ten for you, as I believe, just specifically for Feedback. Five had been written, but the line was pulled before they were recorded, and then we did 2 half-hour specials for you.
Exactly.
And you have all those.
And still a new From Birth to Baldness, which is coming up this year.
Except
and
we haven't
also,
recorded
it. According to your contract agreement, another half-hour special for 1981.
When Jeffy gets back from Chicago, yes.
Exactly.
This is really fascinating, but I think we're going to have to go out for a commercial now.
Okay, and Feedback will continue in a moment.
You're listening to 765-6000 North Hollywood and 852-7111 Los Angeles.
Hi there. So, Stu, we were talking about...
Love that commercial. Can we hear that again?
No, faggot Jell-O. And this is an interesting thing because you were the one, really, to come up with starting to give everybody in phones, well, as far as Fun Phone is concerned, pet names, and that has been carried out till today, which really kind of caused a little bit of controversy on another comment line.
Pet names? You mean like spaghetti face?
No. I'll get into that
Rover,
in a second.
Rover, Fido,
exactly.
That kind of thing.
Well, Rover, it's been carried out to some lines today.
Yes.
And as I was
what
saying,
a win.
Oh, I'm sorry. As I was saying, a bit of a little controversy recently in the fact that people have just kind of pulled out pet names for line runners, and over the years it's just... exactly, kind of...
Right, be it known here and now that I was the originator of Fuzz.
Why would you do things like this, sir?
Call people names. Well, it's
a lot of fun.
As far back as I can remember, I was always made fun of. Shut up, Steve. for obvious reasons. And I felt the best way to get attention and to get my aggressions out on anybody else and to have a good time because it's all in fun was to do it on the line.
And that was the point of it, that it was all in fun.
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't know what's happened recently, if people are actually doing that on other lines and everything, but in a fun phone skit, you know, although those features were certainly, of course, real, I was very fat at one time, and I can say that now because I took off 40 pounds.
And, of course, that's where all the Bernay cliches come from, is you. You originated, I would say, 99% possibly of all the Bernay cliches, have you not?
Yes. I didn't make up bald-headed fart, though. One of his map workers called him that, and I thought it was extremely funny, and I just sort of spread it around.
Yeah, well, with your sense of humor, you probably would.
I think your cohort wants to.
You did take off that 40 pounds. We're going to display it on the next party. Actually, I think when you said fun, there was a lot more fun in the old days. I don't think there is any more fun in phones anymore.
Yeah, you were really the first and the only.
Where's the fun, okay? All you get is these comments telling you new lines and unfunny jokes. No fun.
You were really the only one back then, and still you have held the record for being the only line to offer daily programming. That is, each day you had a different tape on the line.
And I lived up to that as much as I could. If there's one thing I get with my fetishes or my fads, if you will, is determination and loyalty to them. A couple of times the machines broke, the robot phone I had a lot of trouble with, and I had an emergency machine that ran on a loop tape always available, so my line was never busied out more than 1 or 2 hours in the whole second run, the whole March 75 to August 77. I think the line was only busied out about 2 or 3 hours out of that whole time. I always was checking the line from where I, you know, if I was out, I would always make sure it was running, and if there was a problem, I'd always have another machine to put on so that my callers would not get busied out, unlike certain lines around the beach area. The machines broke, they break, they just sit there. Anyway, exactly. Right.
You were also the first and the only that I can remember or recall to successfully carry out a weekly mailbag series. Why don't you go into that a bit?
Well, I had my troubles with that.
Okay, well, we're going to pause about 10 seconds here for this little turkey tape to reverse onto side two. This tape will not dump you between sides, so stand by.
You were also the first and the only that I can remember or recall to successfully carry out a weekly mailbag series. Why don't you go into that a bit?
Well, I had my troubles with that. Occasionally, I would not get any letters. Normally, I would get... You see, the length of the tape was either 6 or 12 minutes, depending on how many letters I got. And I averaged, I say, 6 to 10 letters a week, which would make probably for a 12-minute tape, or 2 6-minute tapes run back-to-back a day apart. I don't know. Al Bernay is still trying to figure out how I was able to get people to write in. For a while, it was just like a comment tape, people calling in, putting each other down, and I would read them just for the fact that I was so happy to get letters, something to fill up a tape with. But it wasn't only that. I mean, people were writing up, as I recall, and I don't want to embarrass Steve Bloopline, but him and his friends were writing in a lot with the fan club ideas for somebody who I will keep anonymous.
These are very intelligent letters, I think, and they caused up your mailbag.
But anyway, it was much like a comment line, except people would write in, and occasionally when I didn't get any letters, I would threaten the callers by playing Al Jolson records, and when they didn't believe
that
me,
did it, yeah.
And no letters didn't come in, I mean, they got meh, for, you know, 6-12 minutes, and the next week I'd be flooded with letters enough to carry me over a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
I don't know if that would still be successful today, though, because there's been a big turnaround in phones.
No one writes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they can read either.
Especially phone people. It's amazing we have the amount of people we do on the feedback mailing list for the letter of news. I think because of that, the only reason is possibly because we offer everything free. You know, it's been proven now that phone people won't pay for things.
I was going to sell bumper stickers for a while, and I went and got some printed up, and it's true in every printing instance, the more you print, the less it costs you. And I only printed up about 20 of them, and it cost me $20, and I sold them for $1.50 each, and I think I sold one.
Yeah. You had those recording logs. I know I subscribed.
Yeah. That was another thing.
I was probably the only one.
Yeah, day by day with FunPhone, they could write in, and I would send them like a little TV guidebook with what was going to be on, little descriptions of the skit. You know, I mean, it would be set up just like TV Guide, you know, skit-comedy, color, yeah. Right, you know, repeat, and
yeah.
It would give a little, you know, Jeffy has a nose job or whatever, you know, it would say it in the little description there.
So you had a mailbag series going, and then you stopped the mailbag and replaced it for a while during one summer with FunPhone comments. Is that true?
Yeah. In fact, mailbag started when I came back in March 75, and then I brought the comment machine back up, but it was a little bit different. When I recorded comments with the robot phone, the quality was disgusting, like a sixth-generation videotape, if you know what I mean. And what I decided to do with the comments was monitor them, use a reel-to-reel tape deck, and monitor them myself and record them, and I would set aside a Friday evening every other week for 4 hours to take comments, and those would carry me for about a month, and then put the comment machine up, well, every other week, and I just have enough comments. It got to be a big pain in the rear, though, after a while, because of the editing involved. I'm sure you know about that, and I didn't want to spend the time editing those comments over and over and over and having all my free time taken up by this, so I went back to mailbag, which is easier to set up a mic and a record player and play music in the background and read the letters, and you're done in 6 minutes.
I think it's fascinating, though, that you only took comments for one evening during maybe a three-hour, four-hour period, right?
It forced everybody to call in then and say what was on their mind, because they would not have an opportunity again for at least 2 weeks.
And I don't believe that something like that would work present day either. But speaking of which, comments, I believe you have for us a...
I have some excerpts, yes, fun phone comments,
early tape. Comment tapes. Why don't you set this up for us?
Okay. All right. This is a comment tape from the latter part of June or the early part of July 1975. So it's a little over, about 4.5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Roll it, Frank.
You got it.
Oh, we will now finish up the comments from 2 weeks ago. Music Maestro. If you misdial, let me tell you what you dialed. You dialed Funphone at 990-4936. Don't you wish you dialed the right number now? If you'd like a copy of our free telephone entertainment line list or a copy of our revised summer schedule, then send your name and address, not a dress like a skirt. Somebody was trying to be cute and sent me their name and address. Send your name and where you live to Funphone, P.O. Box 9. Let's finish them up.
Hi, this is Russ from Westlake, and I just wanted to, I was wondering, do you ever work for Funphone, but Fluke, because your voice sounds a lot like the one that works on Fluke. Also, how about, you know, that new phone, that new recording, people, did you give them permission to use your old recording? I mean, you should get them copyrighted, because people might record them right off the phone and use them themselves. And you want to advertise, well, no, you shouldn't advertise your phone, then it gets tied up too much. But, I wanted to say you're doing really good work, and you've got to keep that up.
Thank you. It's always nice to hear a comment like that, especially if... for my ego. My ego is now 80 by 20. Couldn't even fit it in my room now. But, I do make recordings for Fluke. I do a little writing for Fluke. I do all the writing on Funphone, and when tapes are too short to play on Funphone, we do them on Fluke, regardless of what he says. And I do lend my voice over there occasionally. Once or twice a loop, something like that. About the Shokas Hotline, Dave Shokas owns half of the original tapes. I mean, by the original tapes, I mean back in 1972 when we first started. He had half of them. And he didn't have enough to, you know, make a decent enough joke line. Got a little more way to go, but he's getting there. He's doing all right. He's learning. So I helped him out. I gave him the rest of them. He's got every Shokas Hotline tape now. So that means he's got them from 72 all the way to when we became Funphone, when we changed from Shokas to Funphone in January 1974. He has all the tapes from February 72 to January 74, and that should keep him pretty busy over there. Thanks again for phoning in.
I think you should have more than one member to keep the dollar side to get to. The only problem with that would be the cost.
Exactly, and that's why I can't put in another line.
Hello, my name's Hayden Levine from Norwich, and I live on Burton Street. Okay, here I go. What do they call a fat lady going down the street? Guess what? It's a sidewalk.
I'm going to cut that right here. Besides, I thought Sheila Levine was alive and living in New York.
This is John from UCLA. The Encino kids that go back to kindergarten because they don't know how to talk right. They see dirty ass foul things. Now, I think that they are vulgar. Also, I can't
Listen, I have a joke to tell you. I can't leave this place. Oh, damn. Oh, yeah. You want to hear about the guy who ran over himself? Well, you see, I got this car, and we were driving along, and he asked me to mail this letter. And I said, would you mail this letter? And I said, no. So he ran over himself.
Jim Woodland Hills, I'm going to stick your face in a vat of bacon grease. Okay, regular schedule next week. Tomorrow, find out what has happened to Jeffy. We already know that, but find out where Jeffy has gone, or part of Jeffy's characteristics have gone. Have any guesses?
Okay. As you can see, the comments are not too removed from your comments, Brian.
What?
I believe you can, the audience is certainly of the younger set. But that's the problem. When you run a line in the Central Valley, you have access to the West Valley. And at the time, I don't know if times have changed, but the West Valley was all troublemaking little brats.
Right. So who calls them the good old days?
That was not a particularly good comment, Dave.
I have had
better.
Right.
That's very...
To find one, we'd be here for many months.
We have to
exactly.
Find the one with the loop line on it before his voice changed.
Uh-huh.
We found Pat Agarwal.
Always
we've
been
got to
like
find,
this, sir.
We've got to find Steve Loop line.
Yeah.
Right. And also, Nate Kay was on a few of the... who cares about him?
Yeah.
Well, just talking about people who used to be around J. Edgar. In any event, that wasn't very representative of an early fun phone comment tape, but there it is, just the same. And, okay, it's been a while now since Feedback has had any type of quote-unquote live talk-to-you type tape like this. We've had just straight pre-recorded programming, and I haven't had a chance really to thank, all of the people. We got lots of holiday greetings at the post office box with you letters, and I want to thank those people who took the time to send us those cards, letters, and good wishes. Also, when the line went down, a few people had written sending us good wishes, and I do thank those people for that. Once again, if you want to write to Steve or I or someone else, write to us at Feedback, Post Office Box 115, Sun Valley 91352. Stuart, I'm not finished yet. I saw a few things. Thank you. Good. Keeping in fun phone.
Thanks go for me, too.
Uh-huh. Thanks go for
that. I got
too.
Stuff, too, okay?
Yeah.
They send me stuff, too.
That's right. So you can send us...
but you never return any of the things you get.
No, I got some cards, and I appreciate them. They're still on my
wall.
Yeah,
here's an ace of spades right here.
Right.
Okay. I can do Steve Blueblind humor, too.
Not that good.
Yeah. In any event, this Wednesday night, that would be, let's see, today's the 6th. Okay, that's the night of the 7th. Wednesday, the evening of January 7th, we will be having our first announced answer live on Feedback in many months, many years maybe, as a matter of fact. Yes, there have been times where we've answered the lines live but never announced. So if your desire has been to talk to either Steve or I hope Steve will be there.
This is Wednesday night.
The facts of life is us. You're not going to get any call.
Right.
We'll start answering the lines live at about between 7 and 8, and who knows what time it'll go to.
That sounds really
interesting. Because when you're finished, you just cut it. It might be Wednesday night. No, you cannot start the music now. Oh, what the hell. Start the music.
Who are guests to be on the next episode of Feedback Focus?
You didn't even cover Mailbag or any of the early skips or anything. I mean,
that's right.
Just gypped here. Exactly. Well, that's it. On future Feedback Focus tapes, we're going to come back to you, Stuart, and we're going to talk about some early Showcus tapes, maybe even Perry Raven.
Maybe on a future tape, we'll talk about Stu's room itself, about how the trash can looks like a tomato soup can.
Exactly.
And the interesting decor.
So until then, this is Ryan W. Feedback with Stephen Z. Blueblind and our special guest this week, Stuart Funphone. Thanks for listening. And
you too.
Funphone this weekend, Time Tunnel, Thursday and Friday. That's right, with Larry, New Jersey. Goodbye. Vomit.
This tape will repeat.